This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, January 13th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
Fed Chair Janet Yellen weighs in on the Trump administration's call to roll back the Dodd-Frank Act.
J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo are in focus as the big banks are set to report earnings.
Fiat Chrysler faces $4.6 billion in fines as the EPA alleges it violated emissions standards.
The Justice Department will investigate FBI Director Comey about the Clinton email probe. Plus, the U.S. ends the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy involving Cuba. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Knicks come up big at home. The Nets, not so much. And the Devils fell to the upstart Edmonton Oilers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the FRM certification. Protect your firm's investments and clients in today's volatile market with FRM expertise. The FRM is the world's most widely recognized financial risk designation. Learn more at garp.org/FRM.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points, Dow E-mini futures up 18, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 7. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. So is the FTSE 100, and the CAC in Paris up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.8%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, the yield 2.34%, yield on the 2-year 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 27 cents to $52.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.90 to $11.96.90 an ounce. The euro $1.0646 and the yen 114.61.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen says the U.S. economy faces no serious short-term obstacles. Speaking at a meeting with educators last night, she said the labor market is generally strong and wage growth is beginning to pick up. Chair Yellen also addressed calls to roll back the Dodd-Frank Act.
There could be modifications to Dodd-Frank that could succeed in reducing regulatory burden for smaller institutions. But it's really important that the key reforms to Dodd-Frank, capital, liquidity, we conduct stress tests. I think these are very important changes. I certainly wouldn't want to see them rolled back.
Members of President-elect Donald Trump's incoming administration have said they would like to dismantle the Dodd-Frank Act.
U.S. banks in focus today with J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo all scheduled to report earnings. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has more.
Bank of America gets the most bullish ratings from analysts. It has 25 buy ratings, a dozen hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Year-over-year earnings comparison should look good. B of A's profit was reduced by charges in the prior fourth quarter. J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo both get 17 buy ratings. J.P. Morgan gets more hold ratings than Wells, which gets the most sell ratings. Wells Fargo executives may face the toughest questioning during their conference call. Investors will likely want an update on the fallout from the improper sales practices scandal. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Morgan Stanley, meantime, is reportedly cutting bonuses and letting go of some bankers, according to Reuters. The firm is slashing investment banker bonuses by 15% and firing about 20 managing directors. The move comes after a decline in fees last year. While Reuters says the layoffs were part of an annual performance review, they were more than usual.
Boeing has won a $22 billion order from SpiceJet. The order for 205 planes marks the biggest expansion yet by the Indian budget carrier and also includes an option to purchase an additional 50 aircraft. The order is Boeing's largest ever from an Indian airline.
Fiat Chrysler CEO Sergio Marchionne is rebuffing U.S. allegations of emissions violations, calling them, quote, unadulterated hogwash. The Environmental Protection Agency claims that more than 100,000 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Ram pickups use software that allowed them to exceed pollution limits. However, the case against Fiat Chrysler isn't as sweeping as the scandal that cost Volkswagen more than $20 billion. Fiat Chrysler faces penalties of up to $4.6 billion.
In Asia today, equities ended the week mixed. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Stocks in Japan gained thanks to a weaker yen, but Chinese markets were lower. The Nikkei 225 added 0.8% in Tokyo, shares in Jakarta surging to their daily limit. Nintendo, though, slumped as analysts said the $300 price tag of the Switch console was too high. China's trade data for December fairly tepid, the Shanghai Composite falling 0.25%, stocks in Shenzhen down 1.5%. Stocks in Hong Kong bounced back. The Hang Seng has been in the black for six out of the past seven sessions. Samsung was weaker in Seoul as prosecutors questioned the company's vice chairman for 22 hours. The Kospi losing 0.5%. At the same time, the Bank of Korea left its key interest rate at a record low. Over the week, the regional index, the MSCI Asia Pacific, was up for a third straight time. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thanks. Chinese authorities have put the country's banks on notice, implementing a fresh round of curbs aimed at stemming capital outflows. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
China's lenders have been told to stop processing cross-border yuan payments until they balance inflows and outflows. That's according to sources. The orders were given verbally and will apply to transactions involving both companies and individuals. Bloomberg Intelligence says the move underscores the difficult challenge faced by policymakers here trying to steady the yuan and plug holes in an increasingly porous capital account. Nearly $310 billion left China in yuan payments in the first 11 months of last year. That is the biggest outflow on record. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg, Beijing.
Thanks, Tom. And China's exports remained tepid in December, dropping 6.1% from the prior year. Soft global demand weighed on sales, raising uncertainties for the nation as it braces for potential trade frictions with the U.S. under a Donald Trump presidency. At the same time, China's imports rose 3.1%, leaving the country with a $40 billion trade surplus. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P E-mini futures up 3 points. Straight ahead, we have a look at the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, the FBI under scrutiny. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Inspector General of the Justice Department will investigate the FBI's actions ahead of the 2016 presidential election. At issue is whether FBI Director James Comey followed policies regarding the handling of the email investigation of Hillary Clinton. Republican lawmaker Jason Chaffetz, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, says he welcomes the investigation. Chaffetz commented about the timing of Comey's announcement that the probe had been reopened shortly before Election Day.
We are self-critical. We do take a critical look. I don't think it was the factor in swaying the election, but I think it was a factor, and we should look at it.
Comey says he will cooperate fully with the probe. The Cuban government is praising President Obama's announcement yesterday ending automatic legal residency for any Cuban who touches U.S. soil. The repeal of the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy went into effect immediately. France's Socialist Party has had its first debate ahead of next month's presidential primaries. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi has more from our Paris bureau.
The seven candidates clashed in their first debate over issues including labor law and how to increase spending power. Frontrunners such as former Prime Minister Manuel Valls and former Economy Minister Arnaud Montebourg were unable to stand out from the crowd, while outsiders such as former Education Minister Vincent Payon and former Housing Minister Sylvia Pinel more than held their own. It may all be for naught. Polls show that whoever the Socialists nominate won't make it past the first round of France's presidential election in April. Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
In a surprise move, South African President Jacob Zuma says he will not seek a third term as leader of the ruling ANC party. Bloomberg's Emma Mbatha has more from Johannesburg.
Zuma says he believes the party is ready for a woman to take over the leadership. The ANC will elect its new president at a national conference in December when Zuma's term as party leader ends. His ex-wife and outgoing African Union chairwoman, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, and the ANC's deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, are seen as front-runners for the position. Amukela Mbatha, Bloomberg Daybreak, Johannesburg.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street. Your Bloomberg NBC sports update now, and good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. It was a gathering of old friends as the Knicks and Bulls hooked up at Madison Square Garden. Former Bulls Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah combined for 29 points, but Carmelo Anthony, he led the way with 23 and 9 rebounds, just missing a double-double.
Anthony backs away. Now they're down to 5. He's got to hurry. Drives right, fires a jumper, and makes it. It's a 3.
Excellent pick set by Noah.
MSG on the call. Melo was one of 5 Knicks to score in double figures, 104-89 the final. The Knicks' Kristaps Porzingis sat out with a sore Achilles. Dwayne Wade had 22 for the Bulls. Nets weren't as fortunate, falling to the Pelicans 104-95 at Barclays Center. Brooklyn faded down the stretch, being outscored 31-16 in the fourth quarter. Nets, they head north of the border to take on Toronto tonight, where Brooklyn is 1-17 on the road this season. The Devils came up short in Edmonton 3-2 in overtime. Steven Santini's first goal of the year came in a losing cause as the Devils led the game not once but twice, something that Taylor Hall and company will think about.
I feel like we sit back on leads sometimes, and that's not the way to go, especially against a team like that. And there's a way to sit on leads. There's a smart way, and we didn't do that, so it's definitely tough to take.
NFL news, the Rams made history hiring Sean McVay as their new head coach. He replaces Jeff Fisher, who was fired in December. McVay, age 30, is the youngest coach in league history. The Chargers have made it official. They're relocating to L.A. They'll also hire Bills interim coach and offensive coordinator Anthony Lynn to take over as head coach. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, sir. And the San Diego Chargers' decision to move the team to Los Angeles could pay dividends for StubHub as the team waits for a new stadium to be built. The Chargers will play the next 2 years' worth of games in the StubHub Center, home of Major League Soccer's LA Galaxy team. The ticket network will now gain an additional brand exposure that Apex Marketing Group pegs at a value of between $9 and $14 million. Stay with us. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg. And Daybreak brought to you by Spectrum Enterprise, fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions for America's largest business nationwide. To learn more, visit enterprise.spectrum.com/hello.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by UNC Keenan Flagler's full-time MBA program. UNC Keenan Flagler, shaping leaders, driving results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu. Today we're watching for earnings as banks like Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo are all scheduled to report. The dollar, meanwhile, is heading for a weekly loss, and gold is trading at the highest price in almost 2 months, even as it moves lower, as investors continue to assess whether market moves since the U.S. election have gone too far. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 2.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 14. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 6.5. DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 0.33. The yield 2.35%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 45 cents to $52.56 a barrel. COMEX gold now down 0.3% or $3.20 at $11.96.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.0650. The yen, 114.67. At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the Commerce Department issues its monthly retail sales report. Economists forecast an increase of 0.7% for December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Retail sales have been on the rise since August. Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say today's report will probably reflect strong demand for autos. Chain stores reported disappointing holiday results, with consumers more and more going online by gifts. Consumer spending accounts for about 2/3 of economic activity. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Again, that report out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the producer price index. Business inventories are out at 10, along with consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. FBI Director James Comey says he will cooperate fully with the Justice Department investigation into the FBI's actions before the presidential election. Democrats have blamed Comey's handling of the inquiry into Clinton's use of a private email server and Comey's late October public letter about the case, in part for her loss to Republican Donald Trump. Ohio prison officials are trying to obtain a drug that could reverse the lethal injection process if needed. Gary Moore, director of the Department of Rehabilitation and Correction, said in federal court testimony that the request to use the drug would come if executioners weren't confident the first of three lethal drugs would render a prisoner unconscious. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Bulls. The Nets lost to the Pelicans. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost. The Bruins also lost. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. How might the new administration of Donald Trump affect the outlook for emerging markets? And in particular, what are the prospects of a global trade war? Joining us to talk about this now is Jan Den, Global Head of Research for Ashmore Group, in our London studio this morning. Good morning and welcome. Some key takeaways from a new report on the subject. And Jan, I like the double negative construction of this sentence. There is no guarantee that Trump will not start a global trade war. Let's start with that, because you say it wouldn't be a very good idea anyway.
No, I think it's not a particularly effective way to support the U.S. economy. Trade protection, as every trade economist on planet Earth knows, ultimately hurts the perpetrator more than the target. It creates inefficiency. It eliminates the gains from trade, which, of course, are very substantial and have been a big part of the success of the U.S. economy in recent years. So in addition to that, trade protection would be part of a fiscal push, and both of those policies would ultimately push the U.S. economy into overheating territory, pushing up inflation and forcing the Fed to hike rates. And when you take into account how important monetary stimulus has been in driving asset prices to where they are right now, that outlook is not particularly positive for asset prices in the United States.
Then again, Mr. Trump has appointed some known trade hawks, some anti-China crusaders, but does that necessarily mean that he's going in the direction of a trade war?
No, it doesn't. It is particularly tricky to predict exactly what trade policy is going to be for the simple reason that it is a game of smoke and mirrors. If your true intention is to drive a tough but ultimately fair bargain, it is entirely consistent that you should give the impression of being about to start a trade war, because then you can step back from that threat in exchange for concessions and ultimately achieve a better outcome in your trade negotiations. So just because he hires China hawks doesn't necessarily mean that he will ultimately go down the road of a fully fledged trade war.
But then again, it comes down to who blinks first.
Yes, it does, in a sense, and I think the sparring has already begun. I think there are some short-term considerations. First of all, China has actually reduced its countervailing duties against the United States dramatically since 2013, and China could easily slap those back on. So China has some low-hanging fruits it could pick in case it wanted to engage in a trade war. The U.S. would undoubtedly respond, and it would hurt both parties. They both trade a lot with each other. In the longer term, however, it is worth bearing in mind that somewhere around the middle of this century, 30 years from now, roughly, the Chinese economy will be about four times bigger than the U.S. economy. And consumption, of course, will rise significantly over that period of time in China. And that means that we are staring at the prospect of what is ultimately going to be the largest increase in consumption the world has ever seen in China over the next 30 years. And that's not a market you really want to turn your back on. You really don't want to exclude yourself from that market. So as always with trade protection, there is a short-term rationale for doing that, protecting jobs, say, in uncompetitive U.S. industries. But there is a massive long-term cost for the U.S. economy if we go down that route.
Very quickly, just a few seconds left here. Where do all these questions we're raising leave the emerging market nations?
Well, the funny thing is that emerging market currencies and emerging markets in general, in terms of valuations, uh-huh, are so cheap now after years and years and years of negative sentiment that I don't think trade protection is actually going to be particularly detrimental to them, because they've become so competitive now that their real exchange rates are back to 2003 levels, which, of course, was the dawn of the last major rally in EM.
Jan Dan, Global Head of Research for Ashmore Group, thanks very much for joining us. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. S&P E-mini futures at this hour up 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 13 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 6 points. 10-year Treasury prices up 4/32. The yield at 2.34%.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by CGMA. The Chartered Global Management Accountant designation, bringing strategic insight to your finance team by providing the skills you need for financial transformation. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Fiat Chrysler CEO Sergio Marchionne is rebuffing U.S. allegations of emissions violations, calling them, quote, unadulterated hogwash. The Environmental Protection Agency claims that more than 100,000 Jeep Grand Cherokees and Ram pickups use software that allow them to exceed pollution limits. However, the case against Fiat Chrysler isn't as sweeping as the scandal that cost Volkswagen more than $20 billion. Fiat Chrysler faces penalties of up to $4.6 billion.
Boeing has won a $22 billion order from SpiceJet. The order for 205 planes marks the biggest expansion yet by the Indian budget carrier and also includes an option to purchase an additional 50 aircraft. The order is Boeing's largest ever from an Indian airline.
Morgan Stanley is reportedly cutting bonuses and letting go of some of its bankers. According to Reuters, the firm is slashing investment bankers' bonuses by 15% and firing about 20 managing directors. The move comes after a decline in fees last year.
In China, authorities have asked some banks to stop processing cross-border yuan payments until they balance inflows and outflows. That's according to people familiar with the matter who say the directions given verbally on Wednesday require the lenders to show at the end of every month that the amount of outgoing yuan matches the sum that comes in. For now, the banks facing difficulty in balancing cross-border yuan payments will have to temporarily halt outbound services.
China's exports fell more than projected in December, raising new concerns for the external sector. Bloomberg's First Word Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Bob, Karen, China was already bracing for potential trade frictions with the United States under the upcoming presidency of Donald Trump. The export data will add to those concerns. Overseas shipments dropped 6.1% from a year earlier, more than the 4% in a Bloomberg survey. Imports rose 3.1%. That was slightly better than the 3% projected. That put the trade surplus at $40.8 billion. The weakening yuan has helped cushion the fall, but the outlook is trepidatious. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Brian. And futures are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 14. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 6. And the 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.34%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And, Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street Focus. FBI. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with that and more. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. FBI Director James Comey says he will cooperate fully with the Justice Department investigation into the Bureau's actions before the presidential election. Democrats have blamed Comey's handling of the inquiry into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server and Comey's late October public letter about the case, in part for her loss to Republican Donald Trump. Meanwhile, a Republican congressman is welcoming the Justice Department's investigation, Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz.
I wholeheartedly support it. I think Michael Horowitz, the inspector general, is a man of great integrity. I think justice is what we all want to prevail. There are questions on both sides of the aisle about the timing and who they met with and information that was put out.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says Congress and Donald Trump's transition team are trying to come up with a solution for young immigrants brought illegally to the country as kids. Trump pledged during the campaign to undo an executive action allowing young people to gain work permits and temporary deportation relief. Last night, Ryan told a CNN town hall, What we have to do is find a way to make sure that you can get right with the law. Ryan also says it has to be done in a way so families aren't separated.
If you're worried about, you know, some deportation, you know, force coming on, knocking on your door this year, don't worry about that.
The Cuban government is hailing President Obama's decision to end automatic legal residency for any Cuban who touches U.S. soil. The Cuban government says ending the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy will limit attempts to flee Cuba. Cuban diplomat Josefina Vidal told ABC ending the wet foot, dry foot policy is good for both countries.
I believe, and this is written in the agreement, that this new migration agreement between Cuba and the United States responds to the national interest of Cuba and to the national interest of the United States.
Parts of the southern plains are getting ready for a crippling ice storm that could cause widespread power outages and flooding. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you very much. And Michael brings us to 5:35 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And this morning, good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Knicks took down the Bulls at the Garden 104-89 behind 23 points and 9 rebounds from Carmelo Anthony. Melo on what he took away from the win.
Well, just the way that we kind of refocused our energy, you know, for 48 minutes today. And I thought we gave a complete effort today, you know, for the whole game. You know, that's an area where we've been lacking throughout the course of the season, but we got to get better at that. And today is a good step for that.
New York was shorthanded as Kristaps Porzingis missed the game with a sore Achilles. Former Bulls Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose combined for 29 to help the Knicks improve to 12-8 at home. Dwayne Wade had 22 in a losing cause for his hometown team in Chicago. Nets fell to the Pelicans 104-95 at Barclays Center, despite New Orleans playing without their star, Anthony Davis. Brook Lopez led the way 20 points for the Nets. Tough back-to-back tonight for Brooklyn, though. They'll be in Toronto. Nets are 1-17 on the road this year. Hockey, the Devils were beaten by the Oilers 3-2 in overtime in Edmonton, a bright spot for Devils fans offensively.
Here comes Santini with a head of steam. The pass for Parenteau, head saved by Talbot. Hall takes the puck, shoots, and he scores! And the Devils take the lead.
Devils TV on the call. The Rangers host the Leafs tonight while the Islanders are in Miami. NFL news. The Chargers have moved 2 hours north, making it official. They'll play in L.A. next season and name Bills interim head coach Anthony Lynn as their next head coach. The Rams stole their thunder by hiring Sean McVay to replace Jeff Fisher as head coach. McVay, age 30, youngest coach in NFL history. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thank you. It's now 5:37 on Wall Street, and that is time for your Tri-State Business Report. We check in this morning with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Former Citigroup foreign exchange trader Christopher Cummins has pleaded guilty to conspiring to fix currency prices. He is the second dealer to admit wrongdoing. The Justice Department says Cummins schemed with traders at other banks from 2007 to 2013 to fix the prices for emerging market currencies. Cummins has agreed to cooperate in the investigation. Connecticut Home Health Agency, Family Care Visiting Nurse, and Home Care Agency will pay nearly $5.3 million to the federal government and the state to settle allegations of false claims for Medicaid. The settlement with a Stratford-based firm follows a 3-year investigation. Princeton-based NRG Energy is the largest U.S. independent power producer, and it's choosing banks to finance a $200 million construction loan. The money is to build a 254-megawatt solar farm in Texas. The Buckthorn project was part of a portfolio NRG bought from bankrupt clean energy giant Sun Edison last year. And that's the Tri-State Business Report. I'm John Tucker. Bob.
John, thanks very much. Shares of Pandora Media are up more than 7% in early trading after the music streaming service reported fourth quarter results that beat forecasts. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Pandora is the world's largest online radio service. It cites strong ad sales and listeners adopting a new paid offering. The company also said it is eliminating jobs to boost efficiency. Those job cuts will amount to about 7% of staff, excluding the concert ticketing business, Ticketfly. The company had about 2,200 employees at the end of 2015. Pandora Plus signed about 375,000 new subscribers in the period, bringing total paid users to 4.3 million. The ad-free offering, which lets users skip more songs, made its debut in September. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks very much. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about SoCal-based Gun TV going off the air.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. I'm reporting how AT&T's CEO didn't talk about the Time Warner merger in a meeting with Donald Trump.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WOID in Miami, I'm reporting Florida was the most dangerous state for pedestrians last year.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following severe weather warnings in England as the Environment Agency says lives could be at risk from flooding.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on a big new order for Boeing.
I'm John Tucker on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting on Fiat Chrysler facing $4.6 billion in fines from the EPA.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. A forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently up 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 18 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures are up by 7 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. And to check of how the oil markets are doing right now, West Texas Intermediate crude is up by 1.1% to $52.42 a barrel. Brent crude higher by 1% to $55.43.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are watching for earnings today as banks like Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo are all scheduled to report earnings. Futures are higher in advance of those earnings releases. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points, Dow E-mini futures up 26, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 8.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, the 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.34%, NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 61 cents to $52.41 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.60 to $11.97.20 an ounce. The euro is at $1.0642, the yen 114.64. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House plans to vote today on a measure to make it easier for any future bill repealing the Affordable Care Act to advance without the threat of a Democratic filibuster. The legislation is crucial if Republicans controlling Congress are to keep their long-standing promise to repeal the law. The bill passed in the Senate earlier this week. The Cuban government is praising President Obama's decision ending automatic legal residency for any Cuban who touches U.S. soil. The repeal of the so-called wet foot, dry foot policy went into effect immediately yesterday. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Bulls. The Nets lost to the Pelicans. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Devils lost along with the Bruins. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. Let's turn now to our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Greg Storr discuss Volkswagen's admission of guilt in the diesel cheating scandal after U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced charges against five Volkswagen executives. They speak to Eric Gordon, a professor at Michigan Law School, and Anthony Sabino, founding partner of Sabino and Sabino.
Anthony, in this plea agreement, Volkswagen, as I understand it, admitted that its employees agreed to deceive both regulators and customers. Can we look at this as Volkswagen has sort of, given up its employees in this case in order to cut a deal?
To some extent, yes. Again, I think Volkswagen realizes that this was the cost of achieving a settlement with the United States government. I have no doubt that Attorney General Lynch, and she's always been known as a hard-charging, very thorough litigator, both in private practice as well as in her various roles at the Justice Department as U.S. Attorney prior to being the AG, that they demanded this as part of the bargain. And again, allegations which now appear to be admitted to, thereby becoming facts of a sort. There seems to be very little doubt that these folks did what they were accused of, and Volkswagen viewed it as a necessity put upon them.
So from that point, Eric, this settlement is the largest criminal fine imposed on an automaker. It's almost five times what GM paid and four times what Toyota paid to settle their cases. Why so large?
Yeah, because this is really severe. You had, in GM, you probably had some stupidity and some cover-up. In VW, what you had is a company that made a conscious decision. We will violate the law, we will pollute the air in order to sell cars. Nobody at GM said, well, in order to sell cars, we're going to put in this crummy ignition switch. They put in an ignition switch that turned out to be crummy, and they knew about it and didn't change it. But they didn't up front say, wow, we're going to make some money. We got to make money. We got to sell cars. And the only way we can do it is by putting in a crummy ignition switch. So the wrongdoing here is, to use the technical legal term, just so yucky. It's just so despicable that, I'm surprised that the multiple wasn't even higher.
That's Eric Gorton, a professor at Michigan Law School, and Anthony Sabino, founding partner of Sabino & Sabino, speaking to Bloomberg Law hosts June Grosso and Greg Storr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Edward. So, if Apple is looking to serve up programming like, let's say, HBO or Netflix, it doesn't have to buy some big media company to do it. Maybe the do-it-yourself approach is best.
Yes, Apple is in fact channeling HBO. It doesn't want to buy Netflix or Time Warner to become a big entertainment programming company. Apple is making the rounds in Hollywood at the moment, trying to buy original TV series and even movies. And the idea here is to supplement its Apple Music streaming service with more digital video. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, Apple's tried to get big in entertainment before. You may remember it tried to create its own cable TV-like service. Those efforts founded in part because big media companies were unwilling to cooperate. But this time round, it looks Apple's actually finally landed on an ideal strategy. It's trying to become HBO, not Netflix, and not a cable company. Think about it for a minute. HBO is an enviable media business. People are willing to pay $15 a month for a handful of buzz-generating shows. Apple's choice of a similar path has a benefit. It doesn't require the help of big media companies. An HBO-like video offer is ideally suited to the big shift we're seeing in media consumption away from traditional TV and towards smartphones. It's also way cheaper than buying Netflix. It wouldn't be a hugely expensive investment by Apple standards. HBO was on track to spend more than $2 billion in 2016 on its movies and TV shows. Apple's business generates that much cash in less than 2 weeks. One trouble here, though, for Apple is that while HBO is a huge financial success by the standards of the media industry, it's just a blip by Apple standards. But Apple may actually have no choice but to stretch further into digital entertainment as hardware sales stop growing. The gadget business is tough right now, and that makes Apple's do-it-yourself route into Hollywood look quite appealing.
And the sky-high dreams of the drone industry, they've crashed into reality.
Yes, if you were at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas last week, you could play around with a dizzying choice of unmanned aerial vehicles, drones that take selfies, drones that have thermal imaging cameras, drones that help fishermen chase their prey. It seems no use is too niche. As all these drone makers chase a market that's forecast to grow by an average 32% a year over the next decade, according to ABI research. But actually, away from all this, a chill is settling on this once hype market. Look at what's happened in France. Parrot, the second largest maker of non-military drones, is laying off a third of its staff, saying that margins on consumer drones are insufficient to deliver profitable growth. That's a big statement from a company that pioneered cheap consumer drones back in 2009. It really focuses on those that cost between $100 and $500. two reasons for Parrott's problems. One, Chinese competition from a company called DJI Technology, the undisputed king of non-military drones. It makes higher-end models, but it also owns the entire process, everything from design to manufacturing, and that makes it much more efficient than its outsourcing rivals. DJI has apparently got much more aggressive on price in recent weeks, according to competitors. But also, it's not alone. Dozens of cookie-cutter drone makers have also popped up in Asia, further pushing down prices. And this is really a familiar script for hardware. What you're seeing is commoditization comes fast, even when a segment is growing rapidly. Scale becomes more important than brand. Profit margins can be thin. Just ask those makers of flat-screen TVs or smartphone makers other than Apple and Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants in on the act. The price goes down. Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau, thanks very much. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg. Karen.
Futures this morning, they are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 24. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 8.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. CAC in Paris up 0.9%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 2.34%. The yield on the 2-year 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% or 62 cents to $52.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $2.90 to $11.96.90 an ounce. The euro this morning at $1.0644, the yen 114.67, the British pound at $1.2217. And in Asia, the Nikkei 225 gained 0.8%. Today. Bloomberg Daybreak continues on Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, and compliance information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Several Republican congressional chairmen want details on state-by-state enrollment in Medicaid and an accounting of where the funds are going. The group cites the program's growth and what it calls unrestrained spending. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy suggests he might not back an infrastructure proposal from the Trump administration if it includes direct federal spending. In a talk at the Hoover Institution, McCarthy said he supported public-private partnerships for the work. And U.S. and EU regulators are expected to announce today an agreement for equal treatment of insurers and reinsurers. This should mean an end to rising EU regulations on U.S. underwriters in Europe.
Bloomberg BNA. The leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients.